right, nursery time. Who's got the nursery? All right. Nursery time, ready, we can begin.
Parker!
What's it say? Yeah, that's... All right. All right. Angie, we hope you come out alive, man. Man, what a great song! Isn't it great? Man, when it seemed like the whole world's turned against us, Jesus is always there. As I say many times, when we reach out to Him, He grabs a hold of us. We grab a hold of Him. Sometimes we let go. He never lets go until we get our senses about us and grab back hold of again. In God, one foot in the Lord, one foot in Jesus. Great. Give Him a hand of applause. Well, for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about traditional Easter stuff. And then in 3 weeks, we will go back to our survival guide book. And then here in about 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to let Brother Ron preach again. So you get to hear a good preacher for a change and everything. So that's coming down the road here pretty soon. All right, you see the scripture. We call this Palm Sunday. Now, I have preached this every which way. There's not going to be anything new here. But understand that this message is powerful because it does affect how you and I think. Because when we read this, it's going to look as if that crowd that was praising the name of Jesus is going to come in on a donkey, coming into Jerusalem. All eyes are on Him. Everybody's praising His name. Until, let's see how it gets out. And when they draw nigh unto Jerusalem, they came and the Bethphage, which is like a suburb of Jerusalem, under the Mount of Olives, that Jesus sent to His disciples, saying, it's what He said to them, go into the village that is over against you, and straightway you shall find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. Simply said, go into town, bring me the colt. Bring me the donkey. I have use of this. Everybody with me so far? Pretty simple so far. All right, Larry, you're good. And if anyone say all unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway He will send them. Now I can just see their question. Well, if we just walk in here and take anybody's coat, they're going to think we're stealing. He said, don't worry about it. Just tell them it's something that I need. You won't have no problem. Now this has come to pass, and it might be fulfilled, which is spoken through the prophet. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and riding upon a donkey, and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. Okay, Larry. And the disciples went, and did even as Jesus appointed them. And brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their garments, and He said, they're on. Now, let's take this part of the way. He calls two of his men together, and he says, I want you to go in, get me a donkey, get me the baby too, bring them to me. And they said, well, I mean, are we to steal them or what? They're going to belong to somebody. He said, don't worry about it. If anybody asks, just tell them I'm in need of it. They'll let you have it. They bring them to Jesus. Jesus is going to get on it. Look what He says. And the disciples went and did even as Jesus appointed them. They mind what Jesus said. Now, through this whole situation of this, you've heard preachers preach on this for years, you've been in church. Two things here. Number one, the disciples did what Jesus told them to do. Didn't understand it. Didn't know why. Because the king, number one, is not supposed to be on a donkey. Jesus said do it, so we're going to do it. Remember I said that. Jesus said do it, so I'm going to do it. Not everything that Jesus asked of us to do, are we going to understand it? Not everything that Jesus asked us to do, are we going to say, why? Why not? Why now? Why me? Whatever. These disciples just said, they had a simple question. What if we get there? And the owner says, you're stealing. Jesus says, listen to me closely. Just tell me I have need of you. Follow my directions. Now, how many of you here don't like to follow directions? Enjoy it? I'm telling you, one time my dad and I, back in the day, put a shed together, half the pieces was on the ground. We didn't need all them pieces. Because my dad didn't want to read no directions. I mean, he was a maintenance man. He was an electrician. He knew what he was doing. He didn't need no instructions. When we got done, he said, I can't believe I paid for all them parts and don't even need them. But sometimes, it's good to follow directions. Sometimes it's good to just simply, if Jesus says it, let's do it. Make sense? Because he knew what he was talking about. He knew what the Old Testament said, which was the Bible in Jesus' name. The Old Testament said he would be meek, he would be mild when he comes into Jerusalem for the last time. Now, part two of this is the mindset of the people who are getting ready to lay these palms down so he can ride on. And they say, here comes the king. Here comes the king. Part two, let's see how this thing figures out. They brought the donkey and the coat and put on their garments, and he sat thereup. And the most part of the multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut branches from the trees, we call it Palm Sunday, and spread them in the way as if honor the king is coming down. As if how we do in a wedding when the bride comes down. You know, we lay out that white thing so the bride can walk on it. It means something important is happening. And it's an honor to the person who's walking this down. Now the reason they're all excited about Jesus, these people are almost like they're in jail. The Roman people are truly ruling Jerusalem and ruling over these people. And now they see this Jesus, who they have seen heal people. They've been under his teaching. They've seen his power. And here's what they think. They think the king's coming in. The boss is coming in. And he's going to straighten the Roman people out. So, man, they are welcoming him with open arms. They're laying down the branches. They're saying, oh, yes, here comes my man. He's going to straighten us out. We're going to be free again. You understand the mindset of what you're thinking? All right, Larry, here we go. And the multitudes that went before him that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? What? What's going on? Because you see, when you have a parade like this, it brings attention. And I mean, this is a spectacle. This is a parade. Here comes the Son of God on a donkey into his town. Everybody's laying down the red carpet saying, here he comes. Get ready, Rome, because the man's coming in town. You guys better run. You better get scared. Because here comes the Son of God. And the multitude said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Now, praising his name. Here comes Jesus. The laying down the red carpet, the laying down the palms, the running before him, singing, singing, singing. Jesus just takes all this in, watching us. Now he knows he's within days of going to a cross, but this crowd won't know that. They think he's coming in to clean the town up, and that he's going to give it back to the Jews. Well, that time's coming, but it wasn't in this time in history. Keep in mind, these people didn't know that. They thought Jesus was the answer to all of their problems. Now, over history, he has been the answer. But at this time in history, they had it all perceived wrong. Now, a few days later, this same crowd who's praising his name, same crowd, is going to holler, "Crucify him, crucify him." They're going to turn on him as a blink of an eye. Now you say, that's awful. His own people would do something like that. And that makes us mad when we think about it. Let me tell you something, folks. That happens every day. It happens every day in church. It happens every day that God's people, who call themselves God people, that turn their back on Jesus. Just don't act on your vow to this group. It happens every day. You and I have done it. So let's be careful how we judge people. Because see, we're willing to praise Jesus if we think we get something out of Jesus. If we think that because we trust in him, we're going to have more money, we're going to have more this, we're going to have more that. All this stuff in this lifetime. The only thing that Jesus has promised, and keep this in his word, is that when this life is over, you have life eternity.
Amen.
Now he has promised that he'll be with you in this life, walk with you in this life, even carry you at sometimes in this life. But he's not promised you that everything you touch is going to turn to gold. He's not promised that you're not ever going to have your heartache. He didn't promise you that your kids would be great, your spouse would be great, everybody gets along. He didn't promise that because we're not in heaven yet. We're still on this earth. We're still dealing with human beings who need forgiveness. But let me tell you something. There's two groups of people on the planet today. Those who forgive and those who don't. Let me make it real simple for you. It's not easy to forgive. Matter of fact, it's hard. It's hard. Because you justify your anger. You justify your actions by what someone's done to you. Thank God it wouldn't be on the cross. Because I'd have said to the hell with all of you. And you would have too, what they put him through. Beat this man with an inch of his life. Wouldn't hardly have a piece of skin on him that wouldn't burn it, wouldn't cut, wouldn't bloody. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, they came within an inch of killing this man. Oh, they wouldn't kill him, but they came within an inch. And they said, why? Why? Why couldn't Jesus stop it? That's the wrong question. What you ought to say is thank God he didn't stop it. Or he could have stopped it. All he had to say was one word and these people would have been wiped off the planet. One word. But no, he didn't do that. Come next week, we're going to celebrate one of the most dramatic deaths on this planet. A man who went literally to the nth degree of pain for you. For you. We have to concentrate on the cross. Thank God, though, that's not the final part of this story. But it is a part that you need to never forget. Before there was a resurrection, there was a man on a cross who took pain like you've never seen. And no matter what kind of a rough day I can be having, I've never had a day like this, what Jesus went through. And he did it because he loved me. He didn't have to. He had a good place in heaven. He didn't have to do this. But without this, we would have never had a choice. With this, we have a choice. Two groups of people on the planet. Those who forgive, those who don't. Jesus is in the category of forgiving. Now let me tell you something. This, the I will also teach us this, that either you accept his forgiveness or you don't. Either you believe in it or you don't. It's black and white. There are no gray areas. There are no mistakes here. Nothing wrong with history. Understand, this is black and white. Either you believe or you don't. It's that simple. And if you don't, the Bible is quite specific on what's going to happen. If you do, the Bible is quite specific on what's going to happen. But the choice is yours. It's your children's choice, your grandchildren's choice, your parents' choice, your grandparents' choice, your friends' choice. From the time we're born into this world, we have a choice to make. Do we believe history? Are these people that were praising his name, but they're going to turn his back on him? I promise you, once you give your life to Jesus, don't ever turn your back on me. Because one day, you're going to hear one or two things. See, the Bible is very specific about choices. You ain't got 15 or 20 choices. And when you see Jesus one day, you're going to hear one or two things. This is it. Either, welcome home. You're home. That good. Thank you, sir. Or depart from me. I never knew you. That's it. Really? It's that simple. If you're watching me, man, that's what it is. It ain't going to be sitting there, well, let me take the copper and add this up. Well, let me see what you did in 76 before that. No. Either you know it or you didn't. That's what it is. You make that choice. He's provided a way through this wonderful experience of going in Jerusalem for the last time and seeing all these people praise his name. He knows good and well these people are going to turn their backs on him. And yet, on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. When I accepted Jesus, he looked to his dad, he looked to God the Father and said, forgive Roger. Sometimes he's an idiot. Forgive Roger. Sometimes he's stupid. Forgive Roger. Sometimes he don't know what he's saying. Second chances. Third chances. Fourth chances. How many chances do we need? You watch me on the internet. How many chances do you want in life? One of these days you're going to run out of chances if you don't get it right. Believe me, we've got a church full of people who are running out of chances. The time is at hand. Let's don't be like this crowd, although a lot of us are like this crowd. We praise Jesus when we thank him gets up out of it. Oh, you get things get a little rough on the home front, we turn on them. Believe me, that's what you need to hang on for dear life at that point. Ain't nobody in here got a perfect life. I mean, some of the lives that we live, I mean, it's crazy. What we deal with, what we see. I promise you this, no matter what you deal with or what you see or what's going on, you take it every day with Jesus and you'll be alright. Amen. You'll be fine. You will get through it. When you don't think you can take another step, he'll provide a way. And when you can't take that step, he'll pick you up and carry you. Because that's how much he loves you. Jesus is all right in my book. What about you? In spite of us, in spite of ourselves, he still loves you. He still loves you. They lay down
pause. Here comes the king. One day, folks, there ain't gonna be a harp laid down. There's gonna be a trumpet that sounds. This time, when the king comes, it'll be a whole different story. There ain't gonna be a cross this time. He's gonna get a horse. He's bringing an army with him. And he's gonna clean this place up. I say, let it happen today. Bring it on. Everything that's ever been fulfilled. Watch the Middle East. I'm telling you, watch the Middle East. That's where it's happening. Get ready for it. He is coming and coming soon. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Grace is wonderful. Every person within the sound of my voice, either watching me by internet or in this congregation, needs to know that your grace is great. It's amazing. And it's within reach of those who reach for it. But the decision is now, and the decision is in front of us. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. Day in history. Everybody is praising your name, laying down the red carpet for you. And yet you knew it would be the crowd that would crucify you. And yet you still loved him. You still forgive him. But Father, we have to accept that. And the choice is always ours. Never made public your decision to accept Jesus Christ. You need to do it today. You need to do it now. For Jesus is coming. No doubt. You say, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. That's all you have to do. I'm going to have a word of prayer with you. And from this moment on, you don't have any worries about your salvation. It's intact. Maybe you need a quiet time and just offer. We're going to invite you to come. Whatever it is, God's grace is here. Father, bless these moments in Jesus' name. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name?